I hope you're having a wonderful day today. And we're going to talk about some things that hopefully will make a change in our lives, changes in our community, changes in our church, all the way around. You see, we're in this series of sermons about spiritual warfare. And I don't know if we always understand that forgiveness is spiritual warfare. I want to get that across to all of us today, to myself included. That forgiveness is a strategic, powerful tool of God in our lives, that we have been created to love and to forgive one another. I would like to start off by seeing if you remember this name. Back in 2019, a young Dallas police officer by the name of Botham Jean, had a French background, came over from Africa with his family, and made a fresh start here in America. But little did he know, he would become a target, and his life would be dramatically changed, and the life of others would be dramatically changed, even ours here this morning. You see, he became a Dallas, Texas police officer, a good one. And he bought himself a nice apartment there in Dallas, went to sleep that night. The 19th, 2019, thinking everything was okay. And another police officer came in and shot him to death, killed him. He hadn't done anything wrong. This was wrong. This was unfair, would you say? Would he now, if he were alive, if his family knew this and they did come to know it, would they have a right to hate, a right to seek vengeance? Or would they forgive? What would you do? What would you want? Would you want vengeance? You see, as time went on, there was an investigation, and it showed that Botham was fine, that he had committed no crimes. He was a police officer himself. And that the other officer, the female officer that broke down his door and killed him, was in the wrong. What would be your response? How would you feel? What would you do? Would you seek the strictest, toughest punishment for your brother's life? Well, as Paul Harvey used to say, let's hear the rest of the story. As time went on, all the facts came out. And the brother, Botham's brother, made an appeal to court. And he made an appeal that he wanted to make a statement to his brother's killer. He wanted to go to her and tell her that he forgave her. But that was not enough. He also petitioned the court that he wanted to do something else, not only tell her that she is forgiven, but to put his arms around her and to hold her. And to tell her, again, you're forgiven. And they ask him, why did you have to hold her? Why did you have to put your arms around her? And he said, I wanted her to understand and experience that these words of forgiveness were more than words, that they would penetrate her whole being and core, and even her guilt, to help her deal with the guilt. And he did that. Can you imagine that? You putting your arms around the person who killed your loved one. And not only that, tell them that you love them. As he explained, I wanted her to feel not the guilt, but the love. You see, forgiveness is love. That's one of the points I want to make. Forgiveness is love. If we love, we forgive. And it's more than words. And then he had another request to the court. And he asked the judge, I have a gift for her. I have a gift for her. You guessed it because you can see it. If you can see that, it was a Bible. Not only words of forgiveness, not only not holding a grudge, but he brought her a Bible. And not just brought her a Bible, he had saved the portion of the Bible for her to turn to first, because it was all, you know, piece of paper there, card, designating the part that he wanted her to read. And she read it. She read these words. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And she read that. And they had it all on Good Morning America and all of this. And it was sincere. Imagine that. You see, this is the key. Love, the love of God, is the key to all the strife, division. If this young man gave up his rights of vengeance for the death of his brother and embraced God's word and shared God's word and embraced his brother's killer, you see, that's what forgiveness is all about. That's what Christianity is all about. Forgiveness is love. That would do away with all of the bitterness and the hatred, all of the cursing, all of the putting down one race to the other, all the problems that America is involved in, even up to our neck right now. Simple answer. See, God so loved the world, so loved his enemy. You see, it was the enemy of God. It was Satan, really, who killed God's son, Jesus. And God did not want to get even. God forgave. And he so loved the killer. You and I, for it is our sins that brought him there to the cross. So loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes, oh, would have everlasting life. Oh, what a gift we have. And what a calling God has called us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. For the love of God. Can we play that song? Music has a way of getting to our hearts. God did this. And God is calling us to forgive others because of the love of God. Forgiveness is love. For God so loved the world. Let's play that.
I saw mercy. Mercy seated where the judge should be. Was guilty. Guilty and getting out of jail free. How could it be I didn't get the love I deserved? And the only thing he wanted was my heart in return. And every time I think about it, every time I thought was the end, caught up in wonder again. Where would I be? Where would I be if it wasn't for the love of God?
If it wasn't for the love of God,
yeah. This song of victory is now mine to sing. Hallelujah for the love of God has set me free. To a field of green, started breathing. When heaven's favor took a hold of me, I couldn't be living with an infinite worth. And the one I thought I chose had really chosen me first. And every time I think about it, every time I thought was the end, ooh, I'm caught up in wonder again.
Where would I be if it wasn't for the love of God?
love of God. That's our freedom. Not giving more hate. We don't need no more hate. We don't need no more division. We need the love of God. That's the answer. That is the key to being victorious in spiritual warfare. And it's not just here, there, it's everywhere. In our homes, in our communities, the love of God. See, while the devil is already defeated, and he is, and his end is sure, he is still the ruler of this world. And he still leads the cosmic powers of this present darkness, the scripture says, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, Ephesians chapter 2:12. And he rules and he corrupts through deception. He wants you to believe that if you could just get even for what somebody did to one of your relatives, if you could just get this and that, then everything would be okay. But it won't. You see, we must not be ignorant of Satan's devices. We need to beat him, not physically, but spiritually. We need to be two steps ahead. Oh, you want me now to be angry because of this, that, and the other thing. Gotcha. I'm going to forgive the person who did that. We're not talking about there are no consequences for evil. Yes, they are, and there should be. But Satan wants us angry. Wants us to put other people down. Look at them folks. And we're going to round them up. And we're going to, you know. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So we should follow in his footsteps and so love even our enemies. Because our joy and our peace and who we are doesn't come from our enemies, does not come from the devil. It comes from God above. So we don't need to get even because God can more than take care of that. And he can change us and we can have love and peace and joy, even knowing that we have been attacked and hurt. If we say, well, I'm going to get even. I ain't just getting mad. I'm going to get even. Then you are buying in and being putting yourself under the control of the devil. You want the love of God. See, that's the key. You want to forgive the guilty. That's what Jesus did. The devil was a liar from the beginning. The way to defeat him is not do what he does back at him. Or back at the person on your job, the person in your neighborhood who's dissing you and they can't do that to me. You have a higher power. You have the ultimate. You have God on your side. And we fight that battle not through getting even, not through cussing folk back and all of this, you know, gotcha, and we're going to get you, and we can do all of this. No, it's love. You say, well, that makes things look kind of weak, you know. We need to be strong. We need to hit them. If they hit us, we're going to hit them two times strong. As one person years ago said, if we all knocked out our enemy's teeth, if we plucked out your eye, that's where you get an eye from an eye, a tooth from a tooth. If you do me, I'm going to do you. Then the whole world is toothless and blind. That's not what God came to do. He's building his kingdom based on love and joy, based on forgiveness. An unforgiving spirit is the spirit of the devil. And we've all experienced it. Well, you don't know, Pastor. They've done this and done, done, done. Hey, I could cry with you. I can tell you all the things I've been through and all the hurts and all the pains. And the solution is not more of the same. The solution is more of God, more of Christ, more of his spirit, more of his love. There is no other way. You see, John 8:44, the Apostle Paul warns us, we must be careful lest we be outwitted by the devil. And anger is one of his tools to outwit you with and then whip you with it. Can you imagine that? Outwit you with it and then whip you with it. We must not be ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. What may surprise us is what in particular prevents us from being outwitted by Satan. Paul writes, what I have forgiven, You hear that? This is Paul. What I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ. He says, I have forgiven those who've misused me for your benefit and for the glory of God, so that we could not be outwitted by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his designs. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 through 11. Do you want to know what Satan's schemes are? He wants you to hold the grudge. Oh, I feel better after that. No. No, you don't. He wants you to hold a grudge, because when you hold that grudge, you're like, you were like in a balloon hanging on and going up, and then you grab a hold of that grudge, and it just puts you back down to the ground. That's why you're feeling bad. That's why this, that, and the other thing. Because it even affects us physically. I've experienced that. And mentally. He wants you to hold a grudge. He wants you to believe vengeance is yours. There are politicians who go around and talk about that. And they say, well, vengeance, if you want vengeance, we're going to get vengeance. That's not God. That's the devil. Do not follow his ways. It does not work. The devil is in hell. You don't want to be there with him. You don't want to share a cell in hell with him. That's his ways. Mm-mm. Vengeance is not yours. And not, listen to me, and not God's. Forgiveness outwits Satan. And forgiveness subverts his wickedness. It's forgiveness, not vengeance. Why is forgiveness so hard? Because we feel we've been done wrong, and you have probably been done wrong. Forgiveness may be the hardest thing many of us in our lifetimes, especially like I'm thinking about that police officer and the family of that police officer in Dallas. Forgiveness may be the hardest thing you'll ever be asked to do. Do it. There is no other way. Vengeance is the Lord. He says, vengeance is mine, say the Lord. Now, if you go out and try to take from God, okay, and try to be happy, if I can just get him and be happy, you know, you just watch, what's that movie that came on several decades ago about the mafia and so forth. I won't go there. But even then, how much of our suffering is owing to someone else's sins and failures? Think about that. How much of your suffering is owing to someone else's sins and failures? Because none of us is without sin. Forgiveness is simply a given. If we want to love and be loved in this life, then we have to forgive. God has disarmed the devil and all his armies with costly forgiveness. God has disarmed them. He has triumphed over them. And he used nothing else. Not cussing folks out. Not laying out there, wish what you could do to somebody. Get even da 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 da. No. He has overcome the enemies of darkness with one thing. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is God's secret weapon, and it is no secret. It is a secret because we don't like to do that. We want to get even, not forgive. Or forgive. Forgiveness can be hard because it fights against all the impulses of our flesh. I remember getting kicked out of high school. That's right. Back in the day. I'm not proud of it. I still have scars from it. But for the moment, it felt good to hit that guy in the mouth. I ain't gonna lie to you. It felt good to hit him back. He called me a name and boom. That didn't make me happy. That did not make me holy. That did not give me rejoicing. It just was sad. It was not good. It felt good for a second. You say, oh, all I want is a second. No, you don't, because the rest of it is hell. Forgiveness can be hard because it fights against all the impulses of our flesh. Did you see how that so-and-so, how he hurt me? I'm never going to forgive him. Well, you not forgiving doesn't hurt them. It hurts you. Why should I make myself vulnerable again? The pain still feels so fresh and deep for what happened. And I'm trying to minimize it. I'm just saying the solution is not more vengeance. It's not more fighting. God so loved the world that he gave his son. He forgave me. He forgave my enemies. He forgives you by sacrificing his son. That's the answer. To believe that. To believe that he has justified me. That he has made you righteous. And he has made others righteous through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And just as if they had never sinned. And just as if you had never been sinned against, the blood of Jesus is more than enough to forgive you of all of your sins and all of the sins that have been committed against you and to wash you clean and whole. And God sees us as holy and pure and righteous. You can't buy that. You can't cuss somebody out to get that. You can't hit nobody. You can't kill nobody. It's a gift of God. And it's by the grace of God. And he overlooks our sins. Oh, and he sees our grace. It's because of that forgiveness. Christ gave us that forgiveness. Later on, I want you to read Ephesians 4 and verse 32. I think I have preach a little bit too long, but I want to say this one other thing. It's always just one other thing, isn't it? We forgive. Why should you forgive others who hurt you? We forgive because God crushed his son for our forgiveness. We forgive. I should forgive. You should forgive because God crushed his son for our forgiveness. That ain't fair, is it? Son didn't do anything wrong. He was righteous and pure. And God said, I'll crush him. I'll crush the righteous one to cleanse and forgive the sinner, the sins of all. See, that ain't fair either. You don't want fair. You don't want justice. Mm-mm. You want mercy. You want grace. We forgive because God crushed his son. Can you conceive that? He canceled the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Colossians. I'm quoting Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. I want to assign us all to read that. The Ephesians 1, Ephesians 4, 32, and Colossians 2, 14. Read that today or soon. And accept this great blessing that God has given us. For forgiveness is love. And if we love, we forgive. And if we forgive, we do that by the power and the grace of God Almighty. Father, we thank you so very much for your word, for looking over our sins, for giving your son and having him to be crushed. Not just sacrificed, but crushed for our sins. Lord, help us to be towards others the way you are towards us. You even justified us. You made us holy and right in your sight. When we see others who have sinned against us or just sinned and we want to judge them, help us to thank you for justifying us, and let us in turn justify others, seeing them as holy and righteous and pure. We need you to do that through us. Help us to be like you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, and I want you to turn over with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. I'm sorry, Luke 22. Ahead of myself, Luke 22, And verse 17, Luke 22, verse 17. There we go. It's coming into view. Here. Uh-oh. I am in the wrong place. You know, I used to have a song that says the wrong string and the right yo-yo or something. Let me say it. I need Luke 22, 17. And for some reason, I'm having difficulty finding it. Well, appreciate you giving your patience. Ah, there it is. Ah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Luke 22, 17. In fact, I'm going to go a little bit ahead of that. Verse 14, and when the hour had come, Jesus and his disciples reclined. This is verse 14. They reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. I look forward to that. Imagine reclining table with Jesus, James and John, Joe and Mary, you and me, there before the Lord. But I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. You talk about joy. You talk about peace. Oh, what a day it's going to be when we are all around. It's going to be a huge kind of table, you know, one of those spiritual tables, but yet it has substance to it. And it says this, I won't eat again until it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks. And he said, take and eat, divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again until the fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to them saying, this is my body. This is me. Given for you. Oh, what God has done for us. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, I know this means do this in remembrance of him. But I also think it means that we are to do this as a body that includes others. Because through faith, we become members of a body of Christ. And we do it in remembrance of him. That forgiveness is love. And because of his forgiveness of us, we can partake of his body physically. Yes, the bread and wine are a physical picture of the blood and the body of Jesus. His body was broken for us. Crushed for us. We drink of his blood. His blood was spilled for us. And if he did that for us, you know, we're eager to help sometimes others who've had a rough time and giving them food and drink. What about giving them Jesus? What about sharing our faith with them that through his body and his blood, we're satisfied. We're made whole. He forgave us, now we forgive others. I see that fulfillment that we should be willing to shed our ego, our blood, whatever it may be, to forgive others. Forgiveness is love. That wine we drink points to the blood of Jesus. But it's because of his blood that we are cleansed. What about us forgiving others based upon the blood of Jesus as he has forgiven us? Why not that be a part of communion? And to love each other the way he has loved us. It says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. It's a covenant that means it's guaranteed by the blood of Jesus. And because he was crushed because he was wounded, and because he bled for us. Why can't we not walk in the footsteps of Jesus empowered? We eat the supper. Supper is to give us strength, spiritual strength, so that we can walk with others and forgive them and show them the love of God, to love each other. Father, I ask for that. Let that be in my life, that I would love and show love to others, where they experience, hey, I'm forgiven. As we give to others and love each other. Father, help us to be that way. Not our minds just on ourselves, but our minds on you in us, and let others experience that they are forgiven, that they have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. We ask you to do that. So now let's eat and drink, and let us listen to the words of this song. We ask you to bless the bread and the wine, that they will become spiritual realities in our lives for ourselves and for others. And Father, I ask you to bless the hearing of this song, that we will love each other. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
Was hushed and still, and where the bowl was filled, he stooped to wash their feet, and when it was complete, he said, this is what I'm asking you. This is why I'm kneeling here beside you. This is what I want my church to be. This is what I want the world to see. Who it is you follow. Still.